This is a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. Go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
It's 5 o'clock on Friday afternoon. My name's Jacob.
Well, I must be Mercedes then. And we're on Community Radio 3CR with Friday Rave.
Here and across the world, injustice that happens to the Palestinians will happen to everyone out there. You need to keep fighting. The road is long, but we need to be fighting together. We need to be strong together. Please, please lean in on each other. Please be vulnerable. Please allow yourself to grieve. We are grieving. There are moments where our grief has no bounds, but we are present because we know how our connection as Palestinians to our land runs through our blood. We know the connection to our land runs through our dignity, through our justice, and through our peace. So I urge you, do not give up. Every single day, every breath, every action requires us to carry through. There is no other way. There is no other way. We need to boycott, we need to divest, and we need to sanction. There is no other way. We rise above as Palestinians witnessing. It is hard as a Palestinian in the diaspora. It is just, I cannot put into words how hard it is to witness the massacring of my people, the violence inflicted on our bodies. It is hard to witness and hard to be so far away from my people. But we rise above. Despite the anger, the bitterness, the heartbreak, the depression, the despair, we rise above, knowing with full conviction that we are meant to be here, meant to be Palestinian, a people whose bloodlines run with kindness, love, honor, and dignity. We are meant to return. Palestinian, we are meant to rise up. Palestinian, we are meant to rebuild. Palestinian, and we are meant to resist. As Palestinians, mark my words, we will continue to resist until the very last one of us stands. Uncle Coco is a Kumamari and longtime Aboriginal activist. I cannot tell you how strong his heart is and how strong he is present for us all. Please put your hands together for Uncle Coco.
I guess we don't have a real lot of time. Just before we go on, is that this is not a welcoming. Our fire is not a welcoming. Under our law, when I come to this country, this is Ngunnawal country, when I come here, under my law, I have to light a fire to let them old people know that I'm here, that you are here. There's a difference between our law, between being welcomed and going on to someone else's country unnoticed. Today, when we light the fire, you walk past that fire, you tell that fire who you are, where you come from, what you're doing here, and how long you're going to be here, and you ask them to look over you and to watch you and to make sure you're protected. Here in this country, before colonisation, we had 400 nations. This was our United Nations. When the colony, when you people come here, you are the next 401th nation that comes here. When we talk about occupation of this country, we talk about 401 nation solution to this country. 401. But in my 7 minutes this morning, two things, well, maybe three or four things, is that you would have got a leaflet. If anybody asks you what Fair Dinkum Blackfellas want in this country, have a look at that leaflet. Liberation, freedom, and restitution. Anything else is a distraction and a deferment. A distraction and a deferment. 30 years, they have been distracting the rest of the world about our plight under an illegal occupation here in this country. But today's not about us. But I'll take that 2 or 3 minutes just to make sure you know that. There are colonial blacks that will sell out and do anything to support the colony. And there are black men and women like me that fight for our freedom every fucking day. Every day. And we do not have a cost on our freedom. But anybody in this world that suffers retribution, that suffers imperialism, that suffers their deprivation of liberty and freedom, has sanctuary in our homelands, in our country. Just capitalize this so that, if anything, like I said, it's the attention, what's happening around the world at the moment is something that's never been seen before, it's never been looked at, but we've got to step it up. We've got to step it up. If you have a look at my charge sheet, you'd probably need a couple of days. But I'm not ashamed of one time that I've been arrested or charged fighting for my freedom. It's their law. It's great to come together, but we have to mobilise. I'm going to talk a little bit tomorrow, Lizzie, other people are going to talk, but I'm going to talk about needing your support to send an Aboriginal delegation on the next boat out of Italy to Palestine. I've taken three months. My daughters don't know yet. But I've taken 3 months. I've planned 3 months. It's not the first time. When they started shooting the Canucks on the 13th of May in 2003 in New Caledonia, myself and a young fella went to New Caledonia on the invitation of the Canuck people to stop the violence that was going on there. I was lucky enough to get in and out. I don't know whether I'll ever get back under the current French lineup. But what I want to talk to you is that I'm not much for words and I'm not much for marching anymore. I'm too old. So my request today is how we mobilise, how we get an Australian delegation, how we get an Aboriginal flag over there, and we take the Aboriginal flag into Palestine and we take it into the Middle East and we show them where our people stand. Not Nova Perez, not the colonial government, not the Gammon blackfellas from here, but actually doing something. How we talk about solidarity and sovereignty in this country, it's going to happen because you're going to make it happen. When 16 million people participate in a referendum in years to come, in the very, very, very few years to come, we will have our liberation. We will have our liberation because our liberation is in the hands of you. Our future is in your hands. We're only 1 million people. But if we get 16 million to vote for our liberation and for our freedom, this place changes. This place changes. They are shit scared. They are shit scared. The laws that they are bringing about, the laws that they are purporting to practice, the violations on our freedom of speech, you've got them sitting. They are sitting. The numbers, the time, the universities, the schools don't have the capacity to tell the truth. The mining companies, the weapon companies, the multinationals control the narrative that are in the universities, are in the schools. Don't let them take the narrative. Don't be lazy. Choose and support those groups that are going in the right direction. Make a conscious decision. Make a conscious decision. And we know that people have to have jobs. We know you have to protect your identities. We know that, but I don't give a fuck. There are people that are game enough to take on the front line who don't give a fuck about Signal, who don't give a fuck about identity. You want to know about me? Go and ask ASIO. I don't give a shit. I've been banned from America since 1988. I don't give a shit. We crossed the border in Tijuana in 1990 with the sound of testers at 12 o'clock at night across the fucking narrow part of the river. It don't give me a shit. But back the people that will take your story and your message to the rest of the world. Back them. When it's called up to back them to make it happen, make it happen. Make it happen. Because you can. There's a thing happening in the world, the truth telling, the likes of Murdoch and Packer and the clowns up here don't have control anymore. You can smell it. You can feel it. Can't you? Yes. Can't you? Yes. Can't hear. Can't you? Yes. People make it happen. People make it happen. People make it happen. It would be great to walk with you today. And in the words of a very humble teacher that I had, Lyle Munro, I'll give you my hand, I'll give you my heart. Whoa!
Our next speaker today is Hiba Farra. Hiba Farra is a Palestinian advocate with a legal background. She's an executive board member of Australia Palestine Advocacy Network. She's also the chair of Friends of Palestine Western Australia, co-chair of Perth Mums for Palestine, and former chair of the Palestinian Community of Western Australia.
Marhaba, friends. I want to begin by acknowledging that we are all gathered on the land of the Ngunnawal people. I pay my respect to their elders, past and present. This land has never been ceded, was, is, and will always be Aboriginal land. Friends, one day, this will all be written in history books. The doctors tortured to death for refusing to abandon their patients. The journalists murdered for daring to speak the truth. The premature babies who cried their little lungs out alone, cold, and hungry in powerless incubators. The elderly killed as they fled their second Nakba. It will be written in history books that the most kind, most generous, most dignified people were left to die alone, bombed, starved, and buried beneath rubble while the world looked on. But history books won't stop there. It will list every complicit government which facilitated the genocide. Every single government that enabled it. Every single government that stayed silent too. For nearly 2 years, we've asked the same question again and again. Where is Australia? How can its shameful silence be anything but complicity? Where is Australia? Where is our so-called moral leadership, as families are incinerated by airstrikes funded by Western powers? Where is Australia while an entire people are bombed and starved into submission? For over 670 days, our government has responded with cowardice dressed as diplomacy. It has refused to take a principled stand. Australia has not sanctioned Israel. It has abstained from critical UN votes. It continues to trade arms with a rogue occupying regime. And it continues to recognize the legitimacy of a state that is enacting genocide. This is not diplomacy. It is clear complicity. It is enabling. It is allowing. It is facilitating Gaza to be starved, maimed, and reduced to rubble. But the government is not louder than its people. And we are here to say enough. Hundreds of thousands of Australians have taken to the streets again and again, demanding justice and asking, if starving children is unacceptable, as the Prime Minister has said, then is bombing them acceptable? Is displacing them acceptable? Is torturing them in prisons acceptable? Is occupying their homes and land acceptable? And now, as we know more clearly than ever, is arming their killers acceptable? The child beneath the rubble calling out to a lifeless mother asks, is this acceptable? No. The mother digging through concrete with her bare hands to reach her baby's voice asks, is this acceptable? No. The father gunned down while searching for flour for his starving children asks, is this acceptable? No. Prime Minister, the horror does not stop at Gaza's borders. Words do not stop bombs. Condolences do not resurrect the dead. Silence will not wash the blood from our collective conscience. If deliberate starvation is the only red line the government is willing to acknowledge, then let's be clear. This is not leadership. It is a catastrophic moral collapse. Every atrocity before this, the mass killing, the bombing of hospitals, the slaughter of children, should have been more than enough. To ignore them is not just cowardice, it's complicity. We appeal today to whatever remains of conscience within this parliament. Let the human in you overcome the politician. Every step we take in the streets, in our classrooms, in our unions, in our places of worship, chips away at their wall of indifference. We are living proof that the conscience of the world is still alive. And every step forward we take is a step toward Palestine's inevitable freedom. Because if history has taught us anything, it is that all injustices end and all oppressors fall. Today, as our government stumbles, we march on. Today, as our government chooses silence, we speak up louder and louder. And today, I want to share the words of a 15-year-old boy from Gaza, one of the many Palestinian children our government and the opposition have agreed to dehumanize. I don't want to end up in a bag. I give up everything except my death. I want a complete shroud, 150 centimeters long. I will not give up my body. I want it whole. My arms, my feet, my heart, my head, my 20 fingers and toes, and my eyes that have seen everything. I don't mind if I'm buried in a mass grave with my people, but I want my name on a headstone. I don't want to be nameless in my death. And I want the headstone to mention that I am from here. I am from Gaza. I no longer have dreams. I want nothing else. We will not forget this government's silence, its cowardice, its shameful complicity, its betrayal of international law and basic human dignity. Please say, I pledge. We will not forget, and we will not give up on Gaza, not as long as a single Palestinian remains. And finally, to Gaza, my beloved city, may the world one day prove itself worthy of your people's courage and humanity. Thank you.
Now, our next speaker is someone that has been with us for decades, is someone that will teach us more about the military-industrial complex than anyone that I know. Please put your hands together for Jacob Grech, a member of Renegade Activists and a broadcaster with Melbourne's 3CR. He has been researching and exposing the role of Australia's arms industry in global conflicts for over 30 years. Put your hands together for Jacob.
Welcome, comrades. It is so great to see so many out here today and that the rain's held off for us. We need to recognise, to start with, that we're on the unceded land of the Ngunnawal and Buru people. And it's never been ceded. And we pay our respects to the warriors here who have been displaced. Displaced by this government, displaced in many respects by us. So always remember, keep those close to your heart with the fire here when you go home, whatever we're doing. This is Aboriginal land. And I was asked recently by somebody on a media wanting a quote, wanting to know why the Aboriginal movement, the Aboriginal cause and the Palestinian cause were so close together. And it was, is that a real question? We have two people who have had genocide committed against them by a white occupying force that have no right to be there. Not within the 1788 borders or the 1948 borders. We're not calling for, you know, some concessions. We're not calling to go a bit easier on Palestinian people. We're not calling on them to go a bit easier on Aboriginal people. We're calling on them to fuck off back to where they came from. And it's great to see so many Palestinians here, but I want to talk today not about what's happening with in Palestine. You don't need me to tell you that. I want to talk about what's happening here and how we're helping it. Because even our supporters, even Palestinian supporters, are talking about the way the Australian government has been silent and inactive. They've not been silent or inactive. Every US plane that has flown over to support the operation has been fueled, has been refueled, has stopped here. Every last one. Every piece of information, of geospatial information that the American government is giving, and we have, this is not a conspiracy theory, we have the paperwork, we have copies of the treaties that show that it's given from the NSA to Unit 8200, all that, a big part of it, sorry, is gathered in Australia from the American base that operates the satellites above the Middle East, above Palestine, above Iran, above Syria, above Yemen. That is coming down here. We have not been silent. We have not been inactive. We have been actively supporting the genocide on Palestine from Australian land, from the Australian government, from the same people who are based in that building right now. They have been lying. We have Albanese, who showed a bit of dash, I've got to say, as a young bloke, when he was a young lefty anarchist holding Palestinian flags and wearing a kefir and saying sanctions now and all the rest of it 20-something years ago. No longer. He showed a bit of dash. But he lies to you. He stands in front of the media and says, we do not sell weapons to Israel. No. The lie is it is what he's not telling you. What he's not telling you is that this government changed the law last year and changed the laws about our defence export so that we can send weapons to Israel without actually sending them to Israel. We've changed the definition of export. We've changed the definition of weapons. We've changed all the definitions to say we are not selling weapons, yet still our weapons end up in Israel. Because of the Defence Export Amendment Bill 2024, if you want to get technical about it, we can transfer things to the United States, which are then transferred to Israel. And it gets worse. We have no say. And it gets worse. They don't even need to go to the United States. Once they're in an American bonded warehouse in Newcastle, they can fly straight to Israel. But we don't sell weapons to Israel. It is all rubbish. The other lie. The other thing they've done is piece of legislation is the Naval Nuclear Propulsion Act, which apart from getting AUKUS submarines, which is never going to happen, is building bases for US submarines to operate in the Indian Ocean. And the US submarines operating in the Indian Ocean is to control global capital interests in the Middle East, which is exactly what the slaughter, what the genocide on Palestinians is about. So we're here today to talk about Palestine, but it's bigger than Palestine. We need not just to be a pro-Palestinian movement. We need not just to be an anti-Zionist movement. We need to be an anti-global power movement. We need to recognise the liberation struggles that are happening across the Sahel, across the Pacific, across South America, and even in some parts of Europe and Central Asia. Because at the risk of saying the cliche, none of us are free until all of us are free. And it starts in Palestine. And you know what's happening in Palestine, but I'll leave that to the Palestinian speakers. And I have one final thing to say, and I don't want to say it to you, I want to say it to these fuckers. I wanted to say it to these ones in here. They've just, the big lie they're telling you to start with is that they have control. They're not the rulers of Australia. They are the middle management running things for global capital. That is what they're doing. Of the top 20 companies of the Australian Stock Exchange, 17 of them are controlled by US hedge funds. So they know for 2 years now, they've been saying, oh, we can't do anything, because they know up until recently that if they take a step, then we'll have a flight of capital. The interest will move their money out of here, raise an interest rate there, and they're thinking of the ghost of Gough Whitlam, to be honest. So, but now we've got a situation where they are in power for the next 2 terms, with the majority they've got. The opposition is in total disarray. We could sack this government tomorrow and the coalition could still not field a football team in that place. They have the opportunity now, like a Labor government has not had since the early 70s, to pass the legislation that is in their party platform, that is their official policy. I can understand, Albo, that you're an absolute gutless fucking prick and you're too scared to do anything while there was a chance of being booted out. But that is no longer the case. You have absolutely no excuse from this day forward to sanction Israel now. You know sanctions work. You spoke up for sanctions against South Africa back in the days. We need to do the same to Israel. And hopefully in 30 years' time, within 30 years' time, a united Palestine will stand up.